Welcome, Wisconsin. You are listening to a combined episode of The Maggie Dawn Show and The Devil's Advocates Radio. We will be joined by the Devils momentarily. You're going to get your daily dose of Dom and Crew. Don't you worry about it. We got you covered. Right now, I wanted to bring back my special guest, CEO of Girl Scouts Wisconsin Southeast, Anna Simpson. Thanks so much for hanging out, Anna. Again, folks, we're going to have the Devils on in just a moment. But before I let Anna go, I wanted to be sure that friend, I give you the opportunity to let everybody know a little bit about how you got to where you are and what you want girls to know about your journey.
I appreciate that. So for me, I am about 28 years into my career. I spent the first 22 years in the financial services industry. And about 15 years into that, I knew that that wasn't my long-term plan. I was always super involved in the community that whether I lived, worked, or played. I served on boards, I was on committees, and I really just have a passion for giving back and the impact that we make on others. So I wasn't fueled by how much money was going to the bottom line. My passions were fueled by just the impact that we were making. Ended up just figuring out what are the pathways that I need to take in my career that maybe might not make logical sense to others, but that I knew were really giving me those holistic and well-rounded experiences that would be necessary to one day lead an organization. So fast forward, over the last about 7 years, I have been on that path and leading to this year where I took over as a CEO as Girl Scouts. So sometimes, you know, it's a winding road and paths might seem a little untraditional, but I think that that can make a lot of sense.
Well, all I'll say is this, Anna. Girl Scouts of Wisconsin Southeast is lucky to have you. And I was so lucky to have you today. My thanks to our guest, Anna Simpson. We've got the Devil's Advocates joining me here on a combined Devil's Advocates Maggie Dawn Show experience for everybody in Wisconsin. Welcome, Dom and Crute.
Hey, Maggie Dawn.
What is going on? You guys are now back from the journey through Michigan, little Indiana.
Four states covered today.
Yeah, little Indiana.
Little road
Illinois.
Trip.
Yeah.
Maggie, we got to...
Gentlemen, I'm going to have to ask you to take your seats for the duration of the radio show.
Oh, we're just working out a couple
of
kinks.
We're working out the kinks here.
How's that? We good now? Well, tell us a little bit about your last day in Michigan, Mike, because I didn't get to chat with you yesterday.
No. I missed you yesterday, Maggie Dawn.
That's all right. We're here today, aren't we?
We are. And our last day in Michigan was... a late night. Let's just say it was late. We stayed up late. It was a couple, two, three late nights. And thank you to Cousin Joe and the incomparable Mayor Pro Tip of Rochester.
Cousin Nancy. Yeah.
Nancy was the acting mayor last night. She was very proud. We were very proud of her. Nancy, Dominic's cousin-in-law.
Yes, there you go.
Is a very civically... active human being. So last I heard she had a city council meeting, and then this morning she was up and ready to go to work, and we were ready to hit the road. We were on the road by 7.
Wow, I'm impressed, gentlemen. Needless to say, you two are not folks that I expect to be up at 7 a.m. in the morning.
Well, when we got to be on the Maggie Dawn Show at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we always make it a priority.
Yes, well, absolutely.
Listen, guys, I really appreciate your patience with my last guest of the day, Anna Simpson, but now we got it. It's the Combo Devil's Advocates Maggie Dawn Show. What are we going to talk about today?
Aren't we talking Girl Scout cookies? Because, you know,
I'm kind of hungry
now. I am
now.
A little hungry now.
I thought I heard a little stomach grumbling around here. I got to try those new French toast cookies. I mean, what is that?
That might sop up last night's rum.
I thought I caught a whiff of the spice rum here in the studio.
That's Dom's aftershave.
The good stuff, huh?
Oh, man, let's talk some politics, you know.
Let's do it.
You hang out with Dominic, you hardly ever get anything intelligible out of the man. So I'm looking forward to having an intelligent conversation. Maggie, the PFAS. Tony Evers came out today, and actually, I'm gonna have Dom help me out with this because he was reading the reporting to me as we traveled across state lines. But Tony Evers has now said he's going to veto this newest PFAS bill. And Dom, help me out. Why is Tony Evers not signing on to this one?
A couple of quotes here from Governor Evers of the Journal Sentinel. In Wisconsin, the governor said, if someone pollutes our water, property, and natural resources, Wisconsinites expect them to pay to clean it up. That's just common sense. I'm not signing a bill that lets polluters off the hook for cleaning up their contamination and ask Wisconsin taxpayers to foot the bill. No way.
So I think if folks aren't aware of the vagaries of this bill, it includes a safe harbor for what's supposed to be folks like you and I and our listeners, right? Just regular landowners, homeowners, I should say, right?
In case I'm pouring some PFAS in the back creek?
Don't do that, Mike.
Okay.
No, but if we happen to buy a house that sits on land that's got some PFAS, that we're not going to be taxed with potentially really expensive remediation, especially since, and I know a little bit about this because I sued the PFAS manufacturers and distributors last year on behalf of Milwaukee County, nobody really knows how to remediate this stuff. It's almost remediation proof.
That's why they call it forever chemicals.
Indeed, Dom. That is a pithy name. But the whole trick here is that conservation groups and the governor clearly are concerned that the bill would affect that loophole for what are supposed to be just regular folks like us owning homes, that loophole could be interpreted to effectively shield the actual contaminators and large corporate landowners. That's what's going on here. I'd also like to point out that the bill had earmarked $125 million in funding for PFAS cleanup. Again, how you do that. But here's my little 2 cents on the dollar amount there. Not enough. Not nearly enough. Not even close. Not when we're sitting on surpluses, the size of which Wisconsin has never seen before. It's going to cost way more than $125 million to clean this up in Wisconsin. Where's that money?
Ryan, are we going to need a super fund?
Well, that's the interesting part. So super fund, or CERCLA, if you're a legal nerd, is basically the federal law that helps clean up brownfields. There's a whole regulatory structure around it. But the problem is that the EPA hasn't really put out really meaningful PFAS guidelines. They haven't indicated here is what effectively the federal government blesses in terms of cleanup. And again, because it's forever chemical, you're right on point, Mike. That's a problem. PFAS wasn't really regulated at all until the last 10 years. Stuff's been around for 60. Thank you, Dow Chemical. Thank you,
DuPont.
Is that
Teflon? Are we talking Teflon?
Yeah. Your Stainmaster carpeting, PFAS. Teflon, PFAS. Your linoleum, PFAS. Your countertops, if they're from the 60s, 70s, or 80s, PFAS. Your clothes that you wear, flame retardant, PFAS. Fire remediation, what the firefighters use, the foam, guess what? PFAS. Hit me with another one. I mean, like, everything is PFAS.
Everything
is PFAS.
It's all PFAS and ball bearings these days, Maggie Dawn.
Over 5,000 compounds are included in the PFAS category.
It's basically every consumer product that you can imagine for all intents and purposes. Every single one of us has microparticles of PFAS floating around in our bloodstream. Everyone. I don't care if you eat organic, you drink bottled water, it's in your bloodstream.
Well, if you drink bottled water, you're also going to have
plastic.
Microplastics.
We actually heard about they're now testing placentas for microplastics. And of course, they're there.
They are there.
They're 100% of the testing we heard described on news somewhere in Indiana. He kept
Indiana
telling me we're in
Wait
Mike Pence country.
Yeah, right.
Well, probably somewhere out of Chicago. You know, we were
He was telling mother, aka his wife, about the microplastics in her shower gel.
So Maggie Dawn, you know more about PFAS than we do. You sound quite educated on the topic. Tony, do the right thing here, vetoing this bill. Because now he's asking him, but could you please release the money anyways?
Well, yeah.
That seems like a hard ask to make after you vetoed their bill.
They approved the money 230 days ago.
I mean, whatever, $1 towards PFAS cleanup is a dollar more than you had before. Any way to get the money, any way to start targeting these things, I think that's all for the better. But I think he's right. Listen, I don't want to see loopholes for corporate contaminators. I think it makes the lawsuit that I brought harder to succeed. And this stuff is costing Milwaukee County millions. We use it at our airport, the foam, right? It was specifically effectively required by federal aviation regulators to use this particular
similar
foam.
Issues at Truax Field in Madison. Obviously,
correct.
We've got the F-35s now, too. So
yep.
They're not going to be using less of it.
No, and that's the whole point. It's that the fires from jet engine fuel were so intense, so hot, that you needed this particular, again, federally required foam to help be a fire retardant and to put those sorts of fires out. And we got all sorts of contamination, just like Truax Field in Madison does. It exists in other portions of the state as well. We're finding it in wells, you know, in Rhinelander. It's all over. Again, it's going to cost well more than $125 million, well more than $200 million to clean this up appropriately in the state of Wisconsin.
Maggie, as far as the, you know, if this is in lots of consumer products, is it still being used widely? It's one thing to be used for emergency type, you know, fire suppression, whatever, but is this still used widely in consumer products today, even with the lawsuits?
There are many consumer products that still contain PFAS. It's one of the reasons why if you have a Teflon pan at home and it is scraped at all, throw it out. Don't continue to use that. A little bit like lead ladders.
Because I'm going to eat the PFAS or because they're going to get in the greater ecosystem?
Well, because you're going to eat the PFAS. You know,
that would be bad.
That's bad.
Okay.
Eating PFAS, Mike, bad. Rum and Cokes. Good.
Lead paint, bad.
Do they help
lead
wash the PFAS?
Yeah, the Roman Cokes. Just ask Trump. Little mouthwash, little sunlight, little Clorox bleach. Oh, no,
bleach, right.
The mouthwash was our great Senator Ron Johnson, was it not? That just cures that COVID.
Yeah,
like
you're
this.
Fine. You're fine.
You heard it here from Mike Crute. Little Roman Coke cures that PFAS problem. No sweat.
Try all the drugs, Maggie. That's my motto. And, you know, not only is it the Maggie Dawn Show, we're simulcasting on WMDX Devil's Advocates, our three-hour expansion. Spent more than 3 hours in the car today with Dom. Did I mention Dom had not showered in 2 days? I think he showered now. You can almost smell him on the radio.
Welcome to a special edition of the Devil's Advocates Maggie Dawn Show, hanging out together in the Shaw. Maggie, great to see you once again.
It's always a good time with you guys. Talk a little politics, make a little fun of each other. That's, you know, all in a good Tuesday's work.
We'll start teaming up on Crudy here in a little bit, I'm sure.
Everybody's
trash talking 101. Do you see the other issue, what I perceive, the other backyard Wisconsin issue of the day? Because we've been watching Michigan. We've spent the last 3 days in Michigan. But I did see they're still out trying to get rid of Megan Wolf because, you know, this poor woman, this technocrat, this election administrator directed by a board.
A bipartisan board.
A bipartisan board.
If we can't impeach her and we can't fail to, what, we'll take up her nomination with or without the nomination of the board. And, you know, then we'll admit through legal filings that, oh, I guess we knew that wasn't a 2/3 majority, but we're pretending like it was. But now they're going back to appeal the judge's ruling, Maggie Dawn. You know, they want more of this battle, more of this contentiousness.
They're just looking for clarity, according to the Journal Sentinel. They're, among other issues raised, a plan to ask the court whether the state law creates a quote-unquote duty for the Wisconsin Elections Commission to appoint a new administrator, regardless of whether a
tell
vacancy
that to
exists.
Fred Preen.
Right.
So I actually read the Fred Preen case when it came out. I reviewed it when the impeachment claims for Ms. Wolf were happening, and then when this whole lawsuit fandango. Yeah. They're not analogous, right? So the Preen case, this isn't going to stack up. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't think you need a law degree to realize that in litigation, it's not a really good idea to concede the point in one filing and then appeal the judge after the judge is like, yes, this we all agree that you don't have the right to do this. And then you file an appeal. Again, I don't think that's real, you know, great legal stratagems there.
who's representing these Republicans? I know they use the outside counsel. Is it Rudy Giuliani? You know, I wonder, or perhaps the legal counsel of Kenneth Cheesebro. You see this guy's back in the news, the Cheesebro.
The cheese man is?
The architect of the
of the election denialism.
The coup, the fake electors plot here in the state of Wisconsin. Call it what you will. I call it a criminal conspiracy. At least that's my opinion. But it turns out he was lying. The Cheesebro had a Twitter account, Badger Pundit, I believe, was his at Badger Pundit. And he specifically told the Fani Willis and the prior courts that no
state
social media accounts.
As well, yeah.
So he, lied to the prosecutors, state of Michigan specifically. He's testified to the prosecutors there, told them no social media accounts. He did have one, and he was using it for partisan end, effectively to support his own coup theories and the fake electors plot. And His attorney, which
in turn kind of contradicts some of the things he again told the told the prosecutors, the investigators under oath. Oh no, I said this or whatever. What was one of the terms that him and Andrew Hitt, same thing, right? Yep. We were fooled. We just didn't know what we were doing. Well, then you call out and you actually read what he wrote on his Twitter feed. Well, he knew exactly what was going on.
Just like Hitt did. It's an admission of guilt. Yeah. It's called mens rea, if you want the Latin. It means you had intent. You knew exactly what you're doing. All these claims to the contrary now are just lies and more damn lies, right? The cheese man, he's got to be a little nervous, right?
Cheese bro. Well, I thought he, was in this unique circumstance because he effectively architected the scheme. Yet he was the first one to get out there and squeal. He was the first one turning state's evidence. And it seemed to me like he might escape.
With
the pretty traded wife and the crypto money he cashed. He's going back to Puerto Rico for his lifestyle. But now he's made the mistake of lying to the prosecutors. New charges, probably, at least perjury, right, Maggie Dawn?
Well, the neat thing about when you lie to the prosecutors and your plea deal is premised on telling the prosecutors the complete and unvarnished truth, guess what happens to your plea deal? That also goes, goodbye.
Right.
So the cheese man's looking down the barrel of a big old gun right now. Again, I think he's running scared. And here's what I love the most about this. I don't know too many lawyers who have successful careers when they tell their client to commit a crime and like, don't worry, I'll make it legal magically. And then the lawyer's the first one to cop a plea and turn their clients in. I don't think that's the way this is supposed to work.
Well, according to Cheesebro's lawyer, he wasn't so much supporting the coup efforts with this social media account. Just sort of thoughts. He's just putting thoughts out there. Is this a legal defense? Just stream of consciousness.
Yes, that was their excuse. Just stream of consciousness. Well, what about the fact that he even had it and he said he didn't?
No, it's not an excuse. When you're not stream of consciousing to your clients and your clients take your advice, hatch a sophisticated conspiracy to overthrow the U.S. government, and then it results in an insurrection on January 6th, I'd say no, that's sort of the opposite of a stream of consciousness.
Why would this matter? I guess I'm asking, and maybe I'm stupid, but if I was rolling over and pleading guilty, why wouldn't I just tell the whole truth? Why would this differentiation of whether or not he had a social media account? I mean, he architected a coup attempt. They acted on it. Whether or not you're cheerleading on social media seems like an afterthought to me, unless you go and lie to the prosecutors about it. Why would he think this somehow, cast him in a better light not to admit it? Never thought he'd get caught. I don't know why you'd lie about this.
Because of what's on the Twitter feed, right? It's sort of, again, I think that he's trying to spin this in a way, just like Andrew Hitt is with the complicity of 60 Minutes. Like, oh, I didn't really mean it. I was confused. Well, just like the text messages with Hitt and Johnson in the state of Wisconsin, again, the Republican state chairman who just resigned 3 months, 4 months before a national convention in
Milwaukee. So about Mark Jefferson, the executive director?
Not Johnson, Jefferson. Thanks, Mike. Well, somebody should clip that. It's the first time I got something wrong and was corrected by Mike live on the radio.
Make a note of it, Maggie. I'm here for you, Maggie.
You know what I love more than anything? When somebody corrects me live on the radio. Yes. It's like one of my favorite things. Yes. Sorry about that.
No. I got it wrong. Let's get it right for the listeners. That's what we do here.
To the point, from CNN, I think this was from yesterday, the Badger Pundit wrote on November 7th, the day that multiple media outlets, including CNN, called
Badger
the election.
Badger Pundit being the handle he utilized.
Correct.
The cheese bro.
When they called the election for Biden, here's the quote. "You don't get the big picture. Trump doesn't have to get the courts to declare him the winner of the vote. He just needs to convince Republican legislatures that the election was systematically rigged. But it's impossible. But it's impossible to run it again. So they should appoint electors instead."
That's called the independent legislature theory. No meaningful or noteworthy, respectable constitutional scholar thinks that that is actually a thing. Because if it is a thing, then none of us need to bother voting because they'll just let the legislature.
Are you kidding me? We've got Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani. We've got
the greatest legal minds of our generation.
And Kenneth Cheesebro. And they're all on.
Don't forget John Eastman.
Oh, yeah, the Eastman.
Right.
All these fine legal minds, a couple of DOJ people in that mix.
Freaking bad news bears of a legal team.
In his retelling to Michigan prosecutors, Cheesebro cast himself as a moderate middleman who was duped by Trump's more radical lawyers. Asked about the tweets, Danny Wimmer, the spokesman for Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel, said, "Our team is interested in the material and will be looking into this matter."
Looking into it, I should say. Cheese man, you're shaking in your boots.
Do you think they go revisit this? Do you think these state charges are more important, or could it be the actual Jack Smith, the special counsel, that takes the Cheesebro down?
Lying ain't good. Cheesebro, they're coming from you. You are listening to a special edition of the combined Maggie Dawn Show and Devil's Advocates here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're proud that you're a Civic man.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show in tandem with the Maggie Dawn Show. We're here in the WAUK studios. I got Dominic. I got Maggie Dawn here with me. We're talking some politics like we do. Maggie, welcome to the airwaves. Thank you for allowing us to encroach upon your space this fine Tuesday afternoon.
Dom did take a shower. So
I did.
He is now showered. Well, I had the benefit of 6 hours of Dom unshowered on the drive back from Michigan.
Well, the good news, 73 degrees today in Milwaukee. 73. I had the top back on the Jeep. It's February 27th.
But climate change isn't real. Ron Johnson.
It's fine.
It is going to go down 50 degrees tonight.
I know.
And it's supposed to snow overnight. So from 73 to
Wisconsin,
to snow.
Right?
Maggie Dawn, I had asked you about Fani Willis, the prosecutor, Fulton County, Georgia. And I thought this was a very important case because the federal case is technically, if Trump were convicted, you know, some Republican, Ron DeSantis, some future Republican president could pardon the man. And that's always been a fear of mine. And I looked at Georgia, and my understanding is even the governor, Brian Kemp, is not empowered to pardon a convicted criminal in the state of Georgia. So I'm thinking, this one could stick. And Fani Willis, I've been very impressed by her. I thought it took a lot of courage to bring these charges against the former president. Of course, the election interference. We've heard the smoking gun. We've heard the tape of Trump threatening Raffensperger effectively. Go find me. 11,780 votes, I think, was the total. One more than I need. Well, now there are allegations against the prosecutor, Maggie. And I asked you, and you were quick to point out, she's not the one on trial. But she is under oath, and this is a testimony being given before the court, a court hearing. And it is my understanding there are now allegations supported by apparently cell phone
data,
which I haven't verified. I haven't verified the veracity, but it was presented as if she had a romantic relationship, at least an overnight friendship, multiple different times with this special prosecutor, Wade.
I think you mentioned 25 times before she hired him.
That's what they claimed. There were 25 overnight trips to her house. And she said, I didn't have a romantic relationship with this guy. That grew out of the closeness of the work and the investigation, but it didn't start that way. And it would seem, or at least the allegation is, She's perjured herself. First and foremost, it would be embarrassing. I mean, hell, even Donald Trump's going to trial because he lied about a sexual relationship with a woman outside his marriage. Maybe
that's,
for that, campaign
that's not
reasons.
Why he's going to try. Yeah.
Maybe to try and retain his marriage to Melania, because I got to think there's a couple of competing factors why
he
might have wanted
to lie.
To carry,
I mean, he cut checks and covered it up with fraudulent
activity.
Yeah,
no dude ever paid off a woman to try and keep it from his ex-wife or his current wife.
But that's not the crime.
That's
the
not
crime.
The crime
was the cutting of the check,
right,
and not reporting it on federal elections filings. And the only reason he was cutting the check, at least arguably, this is why you get into the Melania question, was to save himself during the campaign, right? And it was the timing of the check that is the strongest indicia, it's circumstantial evidence, of his guilt of that crime. He has to claim that he was doing that to save his marriage, but I don't believe that one bit. He didn't want the headlines coming on the Access Hollywood tape. It was all, remember, I mean, it was the Access
Late
Hollywood
September,
tape. Yes.
Early act. That was our October surprise.
Exactly.
That's
but back to funny.
Well, that's Maggie Dawn. That's Dominic Salvi. I'm Crudy, of course. And we're talking about the special prosecutor in Georgia. Fani Willis now has been accused of perjuring herself. And I don't know if that's true or not at this point, but that's the allegation being made against her. If that bears out, well, certainly this investigation is done from her point of view, I would think, Maggie, correct me if I'm wrong.
If she lied about the relationship, and if the relationship begun before she hired Attorney Wade, she will no longer lead the prosecution. It does not negate the factual predicate of the criminal charges against Mr. Cheeseboro, Mr. Trump, and all of the rest of them. But I have to say this, again, if this is true and this evidence exists, this is the largest error in judgment by a prosecutor in probably the most important, one of the most important state charge-based criminal case of modern American legal history. Why? I don't understand. You can say, I think this is private, my private, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, guess what? You're a public official. So while she is not the one on trial, she's now put her judgment and her truth-telling at issue. And it will materially wound this case if these allegations turn out to be true.
But why would it materially wound this case if the factual predicate remains unchanged?
Because the woman's judgment comes into question. Prosecutors have what we all understand is prosecutorial discretion. And if a defense attorney can say, you shouldn't believe a thing the prosecution says because they lied, this was all about her private relationship and getting this guy that she was in a relationship with a whole bunch of money on the taxpayer's dime in the state of Georgia, jurors are less apt to believe
sure,
the prosecutor.
Okay. So, but assuming if that's the case, and that has yet to be seen, and we'll see. I'm very skeptical of, you know, this kind of electronic data from the defense. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So I
want to ask Mike Lindell and the $5 million he's going to pay to the guy that's like, this doesn't say anything about
right,
that.
Right. So, I mean, I want to be very clear on that. She could very well be telling the truth. We don't know that. And that'll be determined. If she did not, as a prosecutor, if you say under oath, here's the circumstances, and you lied about it, you should be obviously pulled from the case. I don't know what the disciplinary action would be, but certainly another prosecutor.
She could lose her license in the
state of Georgia. Okay, so now she's out. Okay, we still have a case. We still have the circumstances. We still need justice. Another prosecutor comes in, right? What's the process?
Yeah, that's what would happen.
Right.
Again, I just think the atmospherics, the optics around the case, she would not, and nor would the prosecution be entitled to effectively the public's extension of good faith and trust. It just, when you are a government lawyer and you stand up and you say, I'm telling the truth and believe me, and these people are wrongdoers, if you are no longer believable, if you are no longer credible and you are the head of that office, it doesn't make the facts that support the charges go away, but it sure hurts the way that plays to a jury. And that's the concern.
Would
here.
It be this if the prosecutor is replaced, if Willis is replaced? Number one, who would replace her? What the process
probably,
does that look like?
Probably her most senior deputy
okay.
in her office. They'd probably discuss and do that, you know, figure out which one of them would lead it.
Okay. Okay. And then the same jury, though, right? They just continue moving on. Like when an actor from a sitcom gets replaced by somebody else, they just keep on writing the script, right?
They're like, no, oh, they look a little different, but never mind. Yeah,
and you get used to it. So would they have the same jury? Is this anything about pulling a jury and getting a new jury, start the trial over, quote unquote, or would they just slide in a new
prosecutor?
Well,
there's been no trial yet.
Correct.
And there is updates at the Washington Post. So this has wrapped for the day. They will have closing arguments on Friday. This hearing is to decide whether or not Bonnie Willis should remain as the prosecutor. There is apparently some skepticism on behalf of the judge on whether or not the cell phone data should be admissible in this action. It says here McAfee hesitates, McAfee being the judge. Judge Scott McAfee says he wants to go forward at a hearing scheduled for Friday with closing arguments, but the headline says McAfee hesitates to allow cell phone data, so I'm not sure if it's in or out at this point. And this does not give clarity, but he did say there would be closing arguments on Friday, but I'm not sure if they're going to include this testimony that apparently would place Wade at her personal residence in overnight circumstances, which would be the accusation that she perjured herself because she claimed that never happened. Also, this Terrence Bradley, this former partner of Wade's,
right,
testified today that he doesn't really remember about the relationship. So it's all very blurry. Doesn't sound like he may have advanced this conversation very far. Talking about the newest witness that was on the stand today, the former partner of Wade, the investigator.
I hope Judge McAfee does take the evidence. Get experts on the stand, because now the allegation is out there, right? And the worst thing would be McAfee doesn't remove her, he doesn't allow the evidence, and then all you're hearing is more smoke screening and bloviating about all of this
right.
from the entire MAGA universe.
Well, they're going to hear that anyway, Maggie.
Of course, I mean, but my point is put the evidence in a court of law, if it passes
muster.
Correct.
Right.
There's all sorts of rules about the quality of evidence and being sure to test the source, etc. If it meets those standards, I don't get what the hangup is, other than maybe McAfee wanting to bring this sideshow to a close. And I would be remiss if I didn't say this in some of the remaining time left. I truly believe that Miss Willis and this entire circumstance is more sensationalized, her judgment more seriously questioned, her credibility more seriously undermined because she's a woman and because she's Black. In other words, would all this be quite so salacious? And would I be so concerned about the prosecution being undermined in this way if that was a white guy leading the prosecution? And the answer to that question is no. That is the reality that we live in.
Maggie, have you ever seen a prosecution undermined in this way, man, woman, or otherwise, through public allegations of impropriety, you know, between coordinating DAs, whatever the case may be.
Not this kind of thing, not a sexual liaison. But remember, the conservative, jerry-rigged Wisconsin Supreme Court shut down the John Doe investigation of Scott Walker and sort of alleged prosecutorial impropriety.
And burned the evidence.
Yeah. What? I know John Chisholm personally. He was the Milwaukee County DA. He was the one that was leading the John Doe investigation. He is, by all accounts, a respected, reasonable, pragmatic, apolitical, middle-of-the-road prosecutor. It's a shame in this state and most others that prosecutors effectively run as partisan candidates. I don't want the administration of justice to be partisan. Nobody does. But that's the reality, and that was an incredibly political move by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Again, this is when Gableman was on the court. Why would you not let the investigation proceed? Let's find out what happened. It's the same argument you'll hear from me again and again. If it meets the test, the qualifications for evidence, put the evidence in. If you got evidence that Joe Biden was paying off people, put the evidence in.
Right.
That's the point. That's what we do in the United States. We hold people to account. We put them under oath, just like Mr. Cheeseborough.
Well, Chisholm did not go forward with charges against target John Doe Scott Walker. And it was always said, oh, this is so political. But if he wanted to kill Scott Walker's political career, all he would have had to do is drop a charge during the recall effort.
Yeah, you mean kind of like James Comey dropping the Hillary Clinton laptop thing in October? This is what
very similar to that. Correct. That would have had a similar dampening effect on the re-election, the recall campaign.
So if Scott Walker were going to be political about it, that's what you could have done to show.
You could have killed Scott Walker's right. political
just
career.
Charges.
You right. didn't even need a conviction.
And remember, it was John Doe 2 about other allegations of wrongdoing that was going on that was being led by D.A. Chisholm that got shut down by the Supreme Court. There were different allegations of wrongdoing.
Multiple John Does.
Multiple John Does. The laptops that contain the evidence regarding the multiple John Does are sitting in my county office as we speak because we are required to retain that information under the state open records laws. And there it sits.
For how long?
At least 7 years. It's been more than 7 years.
Can you turn it over to the devil's advocate? We know a guy at a computer store in Delaware.
Oh, do you? Did you find a laptop not too long ago?
Yeah, a laptop from hell.
A couple of pictures on there? Hmm.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates and the Maggie Dawn Show doing a tandem simulcast here today. Kind of special. We'll continue for one more segment, and we'll even let Maggie choose. Dealer. You can pick any topic.
Any topic?
And well, you know, with uncertain restraints. But no, any
no
topic,
restraints.
It's your show.
Oh,
do whatever you
on.
Want. It's the Maggie Dawn.
Got one word for you, Mike and Spindell.
Ooh, I don't like that word.
Hard to keep the smile from my face. Losing control, I'm all over the place. Clowns to the left, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Well, you started off with nothing. You're proud that you're a self-made man. And your friends, they all come crawling. Freedom, cut me loose. Keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to a special combined episode of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Devil's Advocates. I am Maggie Dawn. If you want to join us for last little bit of discussion this afternoon before the Devils take over, 855-75-CIVIC, and we will get you on the line. I know you guys covered this a couple of weeks ago. I picked up on it because Angela Lang just wrote a little think piece for the Recombobulation, friend of Civic Media, Dan Schaefer's nice work there. She's talking about the fact that Bob Spindell, a couple of weeks ago, when he was called on to resign from the Wisconsin Elections Commission because he was part of the conspiracy to overthrow the United States government, and he was called on specifically, called out, not just about that, but about the fact that he has bragged in the past about suppressing voter turnout in Milwaukee.
38,000 black and Latino votes.
Very
in
happy about
Milwaukee
it.
In the 2022 midterms. Of course, Ron Johnson won by a margin similar over Mandela Barnes.
Yeah, he's bragged about this. It's been in an email. And the man had the just the sheer audacity of saying this was stunning to me. He said, when asked to resign at the WEC commission, "There's no white Republican that has done more for the black community than me, so I suggest you go back and take a look at my past record." Yeah, Bob, that's exactly what we're doing, and that's why people want you to resign. Right. You're an insurrectionist and a racist, so step down from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. I don't know how the GOP thinks it's a good idea to leave this guy in the WEC. I just don't get it. What's going on there?
That's a hell of a great question. It's LeMahieu's. That's his appointment, right?
Like we get names. We purposefully do it, Maggie.
I know you do. Okay. It's LeMahieu for those listeners out there. Actually,
LeMahieu.
But that's his appointment, right?
Yes.
So the Senate Republican leader really, at his discretion, because it's his sole decision, my understanding, whether or not this man remains on this board, but to absolve him of his, let's just say, indiscretions. Best case scenario, this guy says really stupid stuff and says the quiet part out loud. "Hey, we're in the suppression of vote business." That would not be a good messaging I'd be heading into the 2024 presidential with. But the fact that you've impaneled him as an elections commissioner, as a guy who's supposed to hold up good governance, I mean, it's pretty par for the course as far as these Republicans go, but yeah.
More and more saying the quiet part out loud. I mean, we got to shout out our colleague, Todd Alba, who in a caucus meeting, right, heard Republicans saying, this isn't about voter integrity. This isn't about ensuring the security of our elections. We're in the business of suppressing votes because the lower the turnout, the higher the odds that a GOP candidate wins. And he left the Republican Party of Wisconsin because of that. Bravo. Hats off to our colleague, Todd. And just for the record, this is exactly what Bob Spindell wrote in an email. We can be especially proud of the city of Milwaukee casting 37,000 less votes than cast in the 2018 election, with the major reduction happening in the overwhelming Black and Hispanic areas. So the Republican appointee to the Wisconsin Election Commission by Senate Majority Leader Lemahieu is proud to keep Black and brown folks from voting in Milwaukee. And that's who they leave on the commission? Again, the audacity here is stunning.
Well, as far as the Republicans are concerned, isn't that mission accomplished?
And I mean, it is a partisan,
job well done.
Right.
A partisan appointment, and he is a... Bob Spindell holds party leadership in the Republican Party. I mean, he's a CD chairman, the fourth CD, I believe. So he's part of the political establishment. He's a partisan nominee. And if your party's, you know, whole game plan is suppressing votes, well, again, par for the course.
Well, it's suppressing votes and overturning elections. And he sits
They're bragging
on,
about it.
I mean, it's the Wisconsin Elections Committee. He made efforts to overturn a free and fair election.
Were you not paying attention earlier today when we talked about the fact that Republicans, led by Lemahieu, also want to go back and take another crack at overturning the position of the elections
Removing Megan
administrator,
Wolf.
Yep. Megan Wolf. Well, why are they getting rid of her? Well, because she doesn't propagate the big lie that it was stolen from Donald Trump in 2020. And you got to blame someone, and they've chosen her. She's the designated blamee in this case.
And some of the specifics about that accusation or the claims related to Ms. Wolf is that, the entire commission voted on certain voting procedures because, you know, COVID was happening. And she then published guidance that was approved by the commissioners with Spindell on the commission. And that is what they're saying is the basis for her removal in part.
She did her job.
Right.
The person that drafted the impeachment articles, my understanding, is alleged felonious election rigger Janelle Branchon.
Right. Let's not forget about that. What? Circumventing election donation limit, campaign limits? Yeah. What?
For
what?
Fun and profit.
Allegedly, criminal Branchon has a lot of cojones to accuse Miss Wolf of wrongdoing, I should say.
It seems like a lot of projection going on these days.
Yeah, it seems to run rampant in the GOP.
Well, Maggie Dawn, Dom and I are going to stick around here in the WAUK studios. We're going to talk about our little trip to Michigan, what's happening there. It's a primary day. It's a Never Surrender Tuesday edition. But Maggie, I know you've had some fine guests and we're amongst the finest, but some others you might want to acknowledge here before the end of your fine show.
Yeah, my thanks to our new friend, Patrick Darrington of the Alabama Political Reporter, as well as Anna Simpson, CEO of Girl Scouts Wisconsin Southeast. Both the boys and Girl Scouts do great things for youth in Wisconsin. Call up Governor Evers. Tell him to sign that access bill.
And get me some Girl Scout cookies.
Maggie, any predictions for Michigan coming out of Michigan tonight?
Do you really need to make a prediction? Isn't this sort of already in the bag?
I don't know. There's like a couple Republican parties over there. I'm not clear what's going to happen.
Who knows which Republican is in control of the election rigging in Michigan?
They're having two conventions next week. Two Republican conventions.
Of course they are. It just makes total sense.
Stick around. Devil's Advocates, Hour 2 is next.
Thank you, Maggie Dawn.
Thanks, guys. Great to have you.
You as well. Freedom, well.